dismiss our children at Children's Church, those fifth grade below, follow Miss Denise Porch. Ask you to find your Bibles, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Thank you for that choir. What a day that will be.
Amen.
When my Jesus I shall see. Amen. I look upon his face, the one who saved me from my sinfulness, saved me by his grace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today we're going to look at prayer and praying. Last week we looked at being in God's Word. This week we're going to progress a little farther. And what do we do with God's Word? How do we get to know what God's Word shares with us? And how do we know what God wants and has for our life? It takes communication. Communication tears down and breaks down a lot of things. The lack thereof, especially. We can have wrong types of communication, or we can not communicate at all. We need to be in that communication, that constant communication with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, seeking what God calls for and asks for and instructs for us to do. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, they read like this. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alerted in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the message, to speak the mystery of the Messiah, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it as I am required to speak. Act wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, you just speak through me. Father, hide me behind the cross. Father, may it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. Father, we know that you are already here. But Father, we want to hear a word from you. We want to hear what you have to say to us. And I pray, Father, that we would have attentive ears. Your Son, Jesus, precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this is a silly little question, but how many of us like to eat? We all do. In fact, many of us are probably saying, I'm about ready to eat right now. It's about time for me to get that meal. We're ready to eat. Eating comes naturally. It's something that we have to live by. It's something that we have to grow. It's something that we have to stay alive. We need to eat. What about breathing? We have to have air to in our lungs. I know personally a month or so ago I had walking pneumonia and it was difficult at times to read. Or to read too. I struggle with that every time I try to read. But our breathing comes naturally. It's involuntary. It's something that we do without thinking about it. Now some of us in here likes to talk. And yes, some people in here, they have the involuntary talking. That's all right. That's all right. The picture I want us to look at is this. Prayer should be the exact same way. Prayer should not be something that I'm going to set aside this time in the morning or this time in the evening. Prayer should be something that we, throughout the day, do it involuntarily. Constant communication with the one who died on the cross for us, with the one who created us, with the one who redeemed us, Amen. To the one that forgave us of our sins. That separate us from God. Communication. However, too often, this is what happens. Now, we don't have one here, but I know you have seen in several places kind of a firework system where they have this little bitty hammer and a glass that says, break in case of emergency. Too often, that's exactly what our prayer life is like. We don't pray, we don't communicate to God until an emergency. We think all is going well. We're going to live life like I want to live it. We're going to do everything that I want to do, that I know how to do. And we do not communicate with God until an emergency comes up. And then we start praying, Father, help me. Father, do this. Father, do that. time and time and time, we open up. And let me share this with you. When we put a wedge between us, yes, 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we'll ask. But here's the thing about it. He's not required to forgive us. And if Greg's heart is far away from God, repeatedly, time and time again, and I come to God and say, Father, help me in whatever situation it may be, He's not required to listen. But God is a gracious God, a merciful God. His mercies are new every morning. Lamentations chapter 3 shares with us. Great is His faithfulness. He's not required to listen to us if we're not building that relationship with Him. So we need to get out of the in case of emergency, break this glass. We need to be in the, this is my life. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. So I'm going to live for Him. My life is going to represent Him. Now, how many people here this morning like to go places that they've never been or explore places that they things that they've never seen? Well, we all do. In fact, this past summer, my family went to Cincinnati. I enjoyed it for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I was ready to come home.
Amen.
Yeah. I've been there, done that, and my nervous system was on overload. From all that was going on, there's no place like home. I was putting them red shoes together, brother. There's no place like home. I say all that to say this. We live in Union Grove, Alabama, in a place that 10 miles radius, we live in some of the prettiest country in this world.
Amen.
We have a lake here nearby. We have caves. We have streams. We have all types of resources. We have the beauty of God's creation right here in front of us.
Amen.
But too often, we do not look at it. We get in this, because we're creatures of habit, we get in this mindset that we're focused on where we need to go, what we need to do, where we need to be. And we miss all the beauty that's right before us.
Right.
We miss all the beauty that's right in front of us. That same truth applies in our prayer life. Our prayer life is like an undiscovered island. Like a continent. This beauty is there everywhere. But too often, we do not participate in our prayer life and we miss the beauty that God holds just within communication. Communication with Him. So I say all that to say this. Prayer is talked about more than anything else. But it's practiced less than anything else. We need to be in communication with the Father. We have two ears to hear, one mouth to speak. So that tells me we need to be doing twice as much listening as we are talking. Too often we get it vice versa and take a wrong approach to it. For the believer, prayer remains one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us other than salvation.
Right.
And we miss the mark. We need communication with God so we can seek His will, seek His desire, seek His plan that He has for you. And He could call you by name, and He does. He knows you by name. And He knows the plans He has for you. Not of disaster, but for a future and a hope that relies upon Him. Jeremiah 29:11. So the question now becomes, how should I pray? How should I pray? Number one, and you're filling the blanks within your bulletin. Pray with persistence. Pray with persistence. Paul begins here by saying in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. The Greek word used here for devote is proskarterio, which means to persist in, to keep on with devotion, to associate closely, to adhere to serve personally, to be faithful, to continue in. The original language, it says it this way, continue steadfastly or continue loyally devoted to communicating with the Father. Instead of putting it on the back burner, instead of praying when times get tough and the emergency comes, it should be our first mode of communication, our first thought each and every day. Father, what do you want to do through my life today? Father, praise your holy name. Father, thank you for all that you've done. Father, help me be what you've called for me to be. Help me live my life in a fashion that I'm following after you. Why? To make a difference in this world. So people can come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, as their Savior. We need to be purposely and intentionally communicating, Father, send me. Father, help me to be what you've called for me to be. So this word translated carries the idea of dedication. Being dedicated to something. Being dedicated to what? Communication. Talking with God. Speaking and listening. Now, secularly, and God is our ultimate judge, but a judge says a few words and a man's life is either saved or condemned in our court system. A doctor speaks a few words and a patient either rejoices ecstatically or gives up in despair. So it's vitally important that we seek God's will. Hear what words He has for us. The instructions that He has for our lives. Why? Because it's vitally important for what we do day in and day out. You say, I've never heard God speak audibly. Well, I haven't either. But He speaks like we looked at last week every time you open this book.
Amen.
You need to be willing to get into God's Word. See what He shares with you. Yes, He speaks through messages. Yes, He speaks through Sunday school. Yes, He speaks through other believers. But it all comes from here, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. We need to be in God's Word and we need to be in it with persistence. James 4:2 says this, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. We need to be praying with persistence. Some people give up easy. When times get tough, you've heard the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Well, that's another Greek word, baloney. There are very few that stand up and step up and get going when times get tough, especially in service for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In that, He shared with us that we will never go somewhere that He has not been, He has not prepared the way, and He will not give you the words to say when the timing is right. He prepares for us every step of the way, but too often what we want to do, throw in the towel and give up.
Yeah.
Instead of staying persistent and being and doing what God has called for us to be and called for us to do. What if Abraham, that had to wait 25 years and said, no, I'm not waiting. Oh yeah, he did. Because after about 15, took matters into his own hands. A child named Ishmael was born. And the Middle East has a lot of troubles and struggles today because of it. But think about Sarah. Oftentimes we overlook Sarah in her walk. She may have laughed when she heard that she was going to have a child. But during this society and in this culture, it was important for the woman to have a child, especially a male child, to take care of the family when the father deceased. To take care of the family. So it does not say this in Scripture, but I have the ideas that starting from the begin with, Sarah was praying the whole time, Father, why am I barren? Why can I not have a child? Why is this taking place? Why is that happening? Why can I have a child, Lord? Then she gets to be about 90 years old and laughs. You see, God wanted Sarah to be the mother He intended her to be, instead of the mother that she desired to be. So she waited 90 years before that child came. How many of us are here this morning have ever thought that God was preparing us right here and right now for a day like that? How many of us is here this morning that today may be the day that God has been delivering, leading, guiding, placing you within circumstances that you're in to bring you from point A to point B to where He could use you to glorify His name. And if we're out of communication with the Father, we don't know what's going on and what He wants for us to do. You say, well, I prayed 3 months ago. A lot can happen in 3 months' time.
Right.
A lot can take place.
We need to be in constant, persistent communication with the Father. Seek God's will in all that He calls for us to do. Number two, and you fill in the blank, how should I pray? Pray with passion. Pray with passion. When was the last time you were passionate about something? If a person is persistent in something, you can determine that they are passionate about it. So if you're persistent in prayer, you're going to be passionate about prayer. If you're persistent, as we heard a few weeks ago, Alabama football, you're going to be passionate about Alabama football. What is your passion? Max Snow, what's your passion?
Sunday school.
Sunday school. Amen. He wants to invite each and every person here to Sunday school. Bucky Rowe, what's your passion?
Brotherhood.
Men, being men of God's Word. Learning and growing together. You're going to make mistakes, but the men need to be around one another, building each other up. Being there with and for one another. Randy, what's your passion?
I love choir, singing praises to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Choir and music, singing praises to the Lord. Anyone else have a passion? Sheila, what's your passion?
WMU.
Coral, what's your passion?
Outreach.
Outreach. That's a novel idea that's given to us all throughout the Scriptures. To be a witness for Jesus Christ every day of your life. And it starts with that prayer communication. Father, who can I outreach to a person? Father, place a divine appointment for me. Father, maybe I be a willing and obedient vessel for you. Dwayne, what's your passion?
Worship.
Worship. Worship. I really should have put that one first. Worship. Worship our Lord and Savior. Jill, what's your passion?
Youth and children.
Andrew, what's your passion?
All of the above.
All of the above. That's a heart that we need to have. We need to be passionate about everything we've talked about. Singing, men, women, youth, children, worship, outreach.
Amen.
Yes.
Pro-life.
Pro-life. About life.
Amen.
It starts at a conception.
That's right.
And it needs to continue no matter if we're 9 days or 900 years.
Amen.
Following, having a passion for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have a passion for prayer. What is always on your mind is the question that comes to us. That is probably our passion. We should be passionate about prayer. If we are passionate about something, it will be continuously on our mind. How many of you have ever got a song stuck in your head and just come time and time again, you sing it over and over? Have you ever thought, I may be passionate about enjoying that song? How many times in your life has prayer come across your mind and you've been passionate about communication with the Father? We need to each and every moment, each and every step of our life, be passionate about who He is, what He's done. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's about my response to Him. It's about opening that communication line with the Father. Being and praying with passion. Many people are passionate, as we already spoke of earlier, about food. Many people are passionate about cars. Some people are so passionate about cars, they really make them shine. Brother Randy, I washed mine a few weeks ago, but I wash it once a year, no matter if I need it or not. Having a clean car is not necessarily on my passion radar. I wished it was. There's been a lot of times I've been embarrassed at how bad it looks. We need to have that passion. Some people are passionate about pets. Some are so passionate about pets and they love them greatly. There's nothing wrong with having a passion. Nothing wrong with having multiple passions. Some are passionate about Jesus, and we should be. But what about prayer? Are we passionate about prayer and communication with the Father? And what He has called for and instructed us to do? to know Him more. He already knows everything about you. And He loves you in spite of it. Have passion for prayer. Pray, yes, for your brother and sister in Christ. Pray, yes, for your neighbor down the road. Pray, yes, for yourself. Yes, pray when emergencies arise. Be in constant communication with the Father. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. And know Him more. And allow Him to be Lord of your life. Starts with having a passion for prayer. Number three, you're filling the blanks. Pray with priority. Pray with priority. What should be our priority? Jesus, yes. Obedience, yes. Loving others, yes. Sharing with others, yes. But what about thankfulness? Has your priority ever been thankfulness? Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. Because I did not deserve it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from the depths of my sin, as horrible as they are. I, great and all, am a sinner, saved by grace. His name is Jesus. He should be my priority. Prayer should be my priority. Thankfulness should be my priority. For those who have surrendered to Jesus as Savior, are you living a life that reveals thankfulness to Jesus? If you are proclaiming Jesus as my Savior, your life, your daily actions should reveal it. And you should be humbling yourself in thankfulness and gratitude for what He's done and what He's accomplished and what He is still doing in your life. And He wants to share it with you through communication, through prayer. And we need to have a priority to know what His will is for our life. Paul never fails to mention it in scriptures, several different ones. We'll glance at it for real quick like. But we see prayer is a vital priority in his walk and in our walk with Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Scripture tells us that thanksgiving is the natural result of being filled with and walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you're not thankful, what was the prerequisite? Being filled with and walking with the Holy Spirit. Are we thankful? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything we should pray, giving thanks as we make our petitions known to God. God is a personal God. He knows everything about you, but He wants for you to talk with Him. He wants for you to communicate with Him. He desires for you to live for Him, live with Him, worship Him, be plugged in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 tells us that giving thanks at all times is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Not just sometimes, all times. Even those times when life seems tough and we don't know why we're there. We don't know the reason for it and we wish we weren't. But give thanks to God that He's still in control and that you're not. Trusting and rely upon Him. Having that priority in your life. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says that all believers, everything we say should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus as we give thanks to Him. Too often, here's what we do. We go, we even pray, we do things, and we leave Jesus out of the equation. Friends, that cannot happen. John chapter 15 verse 5, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Have Him as our priority. Have Him as our focus. 1 Timothy 4:4 says that food and marriage are good things. Now that's where we're getting what we're really enjoying. Food and marriage are good things given to us by God and are to be received with thanksgiving and gratitude. When's the last time you went to a meal and you said, "Father, thank you for this meal"? When's the last time you've prayed for your spouse? "Father, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for our relationship in you." We should be giving thanks for all these things that we spoke of. Having a thankful attitude does several things. It articulates dependence upon the Savior. It demonstrates relationship. It communicates gratitude. It gives us proper attitudes. It generates humility, knowing that it's not about me. It's not something that I've done or I've accomplished. It's all about Him. Be thankful and pray with priority. Pray with priority. Number four, how should I pray? Pray with people. Pray with people. Paul wanted to be sure that the Colossian Christians understood what it was that they were to pray for. He wanted them to pray for a specific purpose. He wanted them to pray for him and others because Paul wanted God's kingdom to grow. Like Jesus, he was concerned about others, about their souls, about their salvation and their growth. We need to notice a couple of things in these scriptures. Paul was in prison, and he didn't pray for them to pray for or ask for prayer for his release. You know what his prayer was? We see it in our scriptures. You know what his prayer was? Open the door that I can share Jesus with someone else.
Amen.
Be in prayer with people that God will open a door to share Jesus with them, and prayerfully and hopefully they will surrender to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If we're not praying for it, we have not because we ask not. That should be our heart's desire as Christians, to see God's kingdom grow.
Amen.
To see God's name glorified. To see people come to know Jesus as their Savior. That is our responsibility. We don't do the saving. We do the sharing. The Holy Spirit does the calling.
Right.
Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Amen.
You may be a planter. You may be a waterer. You may be a little sunshine sometimes, allowing Jesus to live through your life. But God alone is the one that hears the increase. And He wants for you to participate with people. To pray with people. Number two that Paul did, Paul recognized people needed Jesus. Paul could have said, I am in prison for sharing the gospel. And I'll share it again one day when and if I get out. But Paul didn't say that. Paul said, pray that I reveal to others Jesus is the answer. Why? The scripture says, because that's what I'm required to do. It's not an opinion. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's a requirement for believers to share with others who Jesus is. Not only in your life, but in the life of others, as we follow after Him. He was asking them to pray that He would have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, as we've already mentioned. How many of your prayers are directed at the growth of God's kingdom? We've talked about several different things: emergency, health, finances. How many of our prayers do we darken the heaven's doors and say, Father, I pray for so-and-so that they'll come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? If we're not, we're missing the mark on what He's called for us to do and where He's called for us to be. Because He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. I promise you, you're going to hear me say it 1,000 more in the future. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. In Jerusalem, right here at home, in Judea, around the surrounding communities, in Samaria, those people that you don't get along with. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along with each other. There's some people in this room that don't get along with some people that you know. But God wants for you to share Jesus with them. Not belittle them, to love them. Pray with people. Compare your prayers. How much time is spent praying for things? How much time is spent praying for family, for health, for stuff? Now compare it to how much time you spend praying for the lost. that they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That should be how we follow after Him. To make a difference in His kingdom. Pray with people. Communicate with the Father. Love the Father with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Starts with prayer. Father who? Father what? Father when? Father help. Don't let it be an emergency contact. Let it be starting point to where you're communicating with Him. You're living a life that feels Jesus is my Redeemer. There may be someone here who has not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible shares with us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts, God has raised from the dead, we shall be saved. For the heart man believes in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Right. Romans 10:9-10. You can have a free gift. Romans 6:23, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All you have to do is come, friend. You may be a believer here. Your prayer life isn't where it needs to be. There's not a believer in this room. This prayer life is where it needs to be, including right here myself. We need constant, more persistent communication with the Father. We need to be speaking with Him. The more we do, the more we need to pray. The more we're involved, the more we need to pray. Prayer. Communication. Get to know what He has for you in your life. Be obedient. So if you're here this morning and you want to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, this altar is open. You're glad to pray with you and share with you. Have you surrendered Jesus Christ to Savior? If you're here this morning, you've already done that, but you want your prayer out, I'm glad to let you pray by yourself. This altar is open. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be more than happy. If anybody is, you got a quick white knuckle in that bench. Come. And I urge you, come. Don't blame. Come. As we stand and sing, come number 45.